Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience scripturally organic, culturally unmodified teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer from your host, Dr. Paula Price, author of the Prophet's Dictionary. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it is Thursday.
Yes.
I'm excited about Thursday. I'm excited about being able to do what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I tell him regularly I like doing this for him because, and he likes it too because he said, I finally got a spokesperson. I got somebody who will cry out loud and spare not. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. She told me I have to look up. Mm-hmm. All right. I thought I was talking to the Blog Talk people, but, you know, they got new equipment now, so. They're showing off. Now I got to keep pace with the new technologies. But anyway, I want to thank God for what we're doing. Actually, before we get started, can we talk about November, our event coming up in November? Hey, by the way, guys, got my coffee. Hope you did. It's great today. We just every now and then Prophet asks me and I make the coffee. So we will be sipping coffee. We'll do water later because we should do healthy. But I want to talk about our event. Let's talk about it. We're going to have Prophet Ashley come from around the camera to look so you can see how happy she is. Are you happy?
I'm happy.
Yes. You got new stuff, new toys. Your toys are playing well. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Can I
move around?
Yes. Well, just so there. Sure. Look at you.
Well, hello.
Hey, how are you doing? You have on your, you know, professor look today.
Like this.
Yes, because you've been getting
up to it.
Yeah, but no, that's colorful.
Oh. You want me in black? Okay, that's fine.
Words in black is good.
Yes.
So let's talk about what we have coming up, because we haven't talked about our summit a lot.
We have, well, we mention it each week at the end, but I like talking about it at the beginning.
Yes. And since you're the lady who's handling all of these, well, she's always our project manager. She manages all of our projects that we put through all of our organizations.
Many, many.
And she's pretty good at it. Prophet Ashley has this chronos chip, this timing chip, that really, you know, you could call a date and she could tell you whether or not we can keep it, and we haven't looked at the calendar. So let's talk about the dates that we have set. We have our annual Apostleship Summit, near Apostleship Summit, and it's for November. It comes every year. In case you ever wonder when it's coming, just mark your calendar the Wednesday before every Thanksgiving, and you'll never miss the date. So even if Thanksgiving shifts, the date will trail with that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what we got going on.
Yes.
And then we'll have Prophet Adia talk about some stuff.
Yes, the Wednesday, the week before
The week before.
Not the Wednesday, day before.
No, the Wednesday, the week before.
Yes.
Make sure you put W-E-E-K.
Every single year, Dr. Price refuses to change the date.
Amen.
She's had tremendous pressure,
Amen.
Even from some great opportunities that I'm glad you didn't change it because I ended up not being opportunities to do it or to include people. But it's always that Wednesday through, well, the conference ends, the summit ends on Saturday, but we have church on Sunday, and a lot of our attendees stay over and come to church with us. And so it is here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our New Era Apostleship Summit at the DoubleTree, the Warren Place DoubleTree Hotel, not the downtown DoubleTree Hotel, the Warren Place DoubleTree Hotel. This year,
it's like a bundle.
Yes.
What do we have going on? Come on, let's talk about it.
What don't we have going on? Okay, Wednesday, the first day of the event, we have our dignitaries dinner. But even before that, the AITs, the Apostles in Training.
Yes.
We have our Inquisition.
Okay, I'll take this, because see, she's one of the AIT questions, so you know she has a personal stake in
that.
Okay, this year we are commissioning six apostles. These are the six very first apostles for New Era Apostleship Restitution, which is my collaborative. They have been in training for at least 2 years, some two, some more, and so we have an AIT commissioning program. For credentialing, because commissioning is a type of credentialing. We don't often think about it. So our program requires at least a minimum of 18 months of training and education and practice, or up to 36 months. So this year, this particular class of 2018, yay, we are presenting New Era Apostleship Restitution Apostles fully credentialed,
mm-hmm.
with portfolio. I want you to think about that. Fully credentialed with portfolio.
And what is the importance of a credentialing with portfolio versus without?
Well, with portfolio. Yes. With portfolio, credentialing or commissioning with portfolio means that the person who credentialed you or commissioned you, credentialed you and authorized you to carry out a particular portion of its commission, of that entity's commission. So you have the portfolio says how you will do it, what, the ways you'll get it done, and the type of training and readiness you have to equip you to do it. And so we're commissioning them with portfolio because we're not expecting you to just walk out with a title and a wonderful tape of the ceremony that you didn't know was coming.
Of the beautiful adornments that we've seen, and nothing to really equip you.
Exactly.
For doing that.
Now, the reason I do two things. One of the reasons that I make it, that we have a ceremony is because people need to know something happened to change their station, their stature, and the requirements of their life. They need to know that. That needs to be clear. So the week before, they come in for their final module of training, which is solidifying their consciousness for commissioning and also standing them before a panel of apostolic leaders, senior leaders, for them to defend the fact or prove, because it really isn't a defense right now, but to prove that they are ready to take up the task of a delegated commission. And so the panel that will happen on Wednesday day. They will be questioned and et cetera. We will record portions of it and then move forward into something else. The idea is that people ought not to be commissioned and not know what to do the day after. Everything in the program is to see to it that the day after commissioning, they can get to work on what God commissioned them to do. And it's the get-to-work plan. That portfolio is the get-to-work plan. You are almost done, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, because yours is about finished.
Yes.
Yes, hers is about finished. So,
because it's due Friday.
It's due Friday, and it's literally a manual. It's leather bound. Leather bound.
I think it is the most remarkable one, bringing credibility to the program. Apostles say we want to be credible. Prophets say they want to be credible. But when it comes to actually doing the work of credibility, credentialing, is when you find out how much you have or have not thought about what you're going to do with this exactly and specifically.
Yes.
And not just ethereally, and I'm just going to do this for God, I'm going to do that for God, and
mm-hmm.
whatever. I mean, the questions we have to answer are wonderful.
Can you remember one of the questions?
Well, yes. Well, it ranges from historical account of how we got there to what we learned from the training program, various questions, pointed questions, name five things here and list this and list that. And then the commissioning aspect, according to your understanding,
mm-hmm.
what do you understand your commission to be, your vision, how do you plan to implement it, how do you plan to be successful
mm-hmm.
in what you do?
Who
is your sphere?
Mm-hmm.
What's the people group or arena that is best suited to your commission?
And we commission people. Our commissions go from grade 3, grade 1 to grade 5. We always have that so that people who are turning to our commissionees will know the magnitude and the latitude of apostleship they are equipped to handle. We do not commission people above their capacity because it's not necessary, because we need apostles at every level. We need the apostles that are going to come, catch the folks coming off the street, build up those kind of things, go into those kinds of nations, and then we need the experts who will perpetuate the superiority, the superlativeness of what we train them to do. So it's a very complex thing. You definitely want to be a part of it. You want to see it. And from there, then we move into the ceremony. So the commissioning is not just a matter of, well, write us a paper if you do. No. There is a full documentation. There is a completed praxis because apostles are doing the acts of the Almighty. So praxis and acts are the same, and we work on that. The acts, they have to fruit that they can make it happen. But we don't commission without fruit. If you don't have fruit, then obviously if you don't have fruit in training, you will not have fruit in serving. You just won't. You'll have followers. You'll be able to gather. You know, I spent a lot of years listening to different folks talk about the gatherer versus the counselor and all of that. But I want you to understand, a gatherer can be a rock star, a fan, coach.
Right.
But a replicant, a transformer, that's something different. And so we need to see what it is and all of the major themes of apostleship are covered. So we're going to have a great time. And then from there, from the afternoon, they come in. And then that evening, Wednesday evening, we have our dignitaries dinner.
Yes.
And we have Dr. Nichols.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Reginald Nichols.
Reginald Nichols, mm-hmm. out of Portland, Warner Pacific College. I'm vice president, I do believe. I don't want to get it wrong, but some department.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get it wrong. Amazing man. And, you know, because we understand apostleship to be cerebral, it's a heady calling. It's a very heady calling, yeah. Even more than mental. Prophets are mental. They're gonna give that mind to Christ, to the law of government. But a cerebral, and so the prophets, the apostles are very heady. And so we push toward the end. Why? Because if you have to go to the head of state, you need to be smart. You need to have an education.
Really?
Yeah, because we're assuming that a few of them learned a few things. No, well, you know, the old move always relied on the anointing, which people could just tell you and declare they have or not, and then the observer can agree or disagree. Not this. This is an established institution. It comes from our School of Apostles Commission. The program is the Apostles in Training Credentialing Program. And the idea is credentialing, from which we get the word credibility. See?
Yes.
So a lot of times you don't know how credible these people are because you have no way to track them. Their work, our apostles' work, is evaluated, it's confirmed, it's going to be on our site, and they're going to be able to do it and carry it out. And carry it out at whatever grade their end product says they can handle. Because not everybody can bear up under an international ministry of a multinational ministry.
Right.
Not everybody can bear up under particular service or whatever. We have some that are going to be apostles to prophets. We have some that are going to be entrepreneurial prophets, judicial prophets, because I need to have that classification.
Mm-hmm.
So you are in your sphere. Because, see, you can be in the right office, in the right calling, and not in your sphere. And you're in the wrong sphere. That sphere is going to push back on you, resist you, fight everything you do because you all are incompatible with each other. We do the same thing with our prophets in June. And so we have that. And then Thursday morning, we kick off our session. And then Thursday.
With Dr. Price.
Yes, with me.
Let's
run past
the keynote host. Dr. Price is Thursday day. Dr. Price, you want to come and hear her? Sit down and unload. That is the time to do it on apostleship. You are the whole day.
The
first day.
Yes. And then that
evening.
Thursday evening, mm-hmm. we will have the ceremony.
Yes.
And that is something to behold. These people have family and friends coming from all around the country to watch them move into that next layer of ministry. Now, whether people agree with it or not, according to Scripture, the apostle is the highest human seat Jesus Christ has in his church and in his kingdom. They just don't come any higher. And as you study the apostles, you realize that that's what they did. And they extended the realm of the king. I like the definition that you gave. I hope to read it in your writing. You remember?
About apostles are experts in all things Jesus?
Yes.
All things Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's the simplest. That is the simplest explanation and definition I've had. And I said as much. I said, you know, we're going to keep that. Because in the end, the apostle of Jesus Christ is the master or expert in everything Jesus Christ and can expertise anything Jesus Christ wants to do in the flesh. And trust me, there is a word called
expertise.
Because you know I know the words, right? So are they flowing with me normal? So we are encouraging you to finish this. And then the next day, we have our three newly commissioned apostles
mm-hmm.
speaking in their new level.
And chief prophet.
And our chief, well, you know
yes.
our chief prophet.
Yes.
Yes. We thank God for our chief prophet because we surely worked that girl to death.
Yes.
We do. We get mileage out of
it. And we keep finding things.
Yes. But you know, well, she doesn't
say
anything.
But she keeps trying to
do things. She does. You know, she's the one putting me on my head 1,000 times. I'm going to come up smarter.
They do this to each other. It's actually a very fun interplay to watch, Dr. Price and Papa Sala, because Chief will say, Mom, Dr. Price, you need to do, put it in this, so on and so forth. And Dr. Price is like, really? Because I already have 10 books I'm doing.
Yes.
And then she'll say, hey, you need to do this, this, and this. And she's like, really? So it's very funny.
Okay, the synergy in our organization is amazing. And we work hard to remain synergized and also synchronized.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to be on the same page at the same time. Absolutely love what God is doing. So that Friday, we get to hear from our newly commissioned apostles. And that, you know, a couple of them, that is astounding. And then, of course, we have our prayer and graduation awards and things like that. And we have change. Oh, this year, we finally bring them back. Meaty. We're finally bringing back Chambers. Now that I have commissioned apostles under the mantle that God put upon me, I can now have the Chambers. And that's where we work through various issues. All of the attendees get a chance to do that. But we don't want to spoil that secret. You need to come to see that because it is an astounding thing. And then from there, Saturday, we wrap it up.
Correct. And we also have on Friday our annual NEAR meeting.
Oh.
All
yes.
NEAR members.
Do come.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of, and you have to come and congratulate our newly commissioned apostles because they are now representing the Council of NEAR with the mind of Christ that God gave when he birthed this thing. That's the other thing about training because, you know, people can lay hands on you as an apostle, although I've never seen in Scripture where anyone less than an apostle laid hands on an apostle. The model has not been that because, you know, the one who commissions you or the one who authorizes you have to be higher than you. I spoke last week about the janitor coming in and said, well, the Lord just said to me or some traveling itinerant evangelist or something like that. So we're working as hard as we can to follow the pattern laid down by Scripture's offering mantles. And that means that apostles are going to lay hands on apostles, and they're going to lay hands on bishops. Now, one thing I want to tell you you're going to like, and that is we do not commission apostles as bishops.
Oh, this is good. Yeah, say that.
Should we say that?
Say that.
Okay. We don't do that. I noticed that many people, when you commission an apostle, that you have them dress up like a bishop, look like a bishop, etc., but that's downgrading the calling. Because bishops didn't exist when apostles were doing what they were doing. Bishops are church. Apostles are kingdom. Assigned to the church. Bishops are church. Because bishop is nothing but a pastor over pastors. I mean, not nothing but, because I think bishops do an amazing job. How they kept us going this long, I don't know. And truly, when you meet a real one, boy, you know
you met one.
You know you met a bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ is the bishop of our soul. So this is not a put down, but a divine order is in Scripture. It is not in human heart. So we can say.
I hope Prophet Ajay wrote that down.
Yes, because you will come back to that, don't you? Because we can say all day long that, you know, we're in divine order. You're not, if you don't match with Scripture, you're not in divine order. I don't care. Because Scripture is what God said he wanted. And he literally sent his church to the planet to bring a piece of his heaven into humans' world. And so that means that first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers is divine order. The threefold precedes the fivefold.
Woo! You're teaching already.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not going to go do it today. I'm going to let you wait.
Something else.
Well, I want them to come on Thursday for the summit. Does this speak to any of you all out there? Because you have bishops make ordaining and making apostles, but that's like the second leadership making the first. And that's not how we do it. When Paul and Barnabas realized that they were going to be apostles, Paul went to, first place he went was to the apostles in Galatia.
Yes.
And they, yeah, that's right. God is doing it. Because who can tell you that you're an apostle if you're somebody who's doing it and someone who's living it? So divine order. Now, I happen to think that divine order means what it says. Now, I think every apostle, according to Acts chapter 1, every apostle is innately a bishop, but not every bishop is an apostle. Now, we have apostolic bishops, and then we really do. We have bishops that are very apostolic, and then we have really bishopric apostles. but not that's not a mandate. That's not a given. So when we start talking about there are bishops out there, you know that they're not apostles, but they're as close as you can get, and they're apostolic bishops. But they still do not carry the fullness of the apostles' dispensation, providences, and we can go on. So those are the things that they learn. So because when my apostles complete this training, they will have more than head knowledge. They will have soul conversion, and they'll understand the powers that's at work in them, that which has been granted to them.
In doing the portfolio and praxis, lets you know how you have or have not been converted throughout the training process.
Yes, and I'm looking for a convert. I'm like Jesus. Jesus said, when you are converted, Pete, come back and strengthen your brethren.
Can we talk about translations for that just a second?
Yes.
Because that is only now, only in the King James.
I know. Because
the other ones talk about when you return to me.
I know. And the thing is, and the reason they do that is because all of those translations that have that are under the culture crafted church. They are they are ecclesial mindset and not kingdom. And only because in those same Bibles you're going to find them whitewashing and diminishing apostleship altogether. Anyway, a lot of their language is going to flip like it belongs to the fivefold instead of the threefold. Mm.
Yeah, my portfolio, I ended up using a lot of King James.
Yes. And that's why the King James is still authorized. Because, see, these are all unauthorized. These are people who have done away, have decapitated the church. Because it's unfortunate that they would decapitate the church, because they did, and they put number four, not even three, number four, above the two founding officers of Jesus Christ Church. So let's just say that.
Right.
So Jesus was like, this is my church upon this rock. And he said the gates of hell will never prevail. And we wonder why they're prevailing, because you know what? The gates of hell will never prevail has to do with the apostle and prophet.
Mm.
Because they're the founders of the church. They're the defenders of the church. They're the architects of the church. They're the blueprinters. And the church, apostles and prophets did not start in the ecclesia. Bishops did. Apostles did not start in the ecclesia. So we need to understand. So a lot of what you believe about the Christian church, and you say, well, I don't understand how we're getting taken out. You're getting taken out because the people to guard you have not been in power. And those that have come into position in that way, they bought into the prevailing evangelical, traditional, fundamentalist view. And none of them according to God. They're all starting with the stationary members. Always remember, you can always know the three of the fivefold by this. Apostles, prophet, evangelist, external.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, teacher, internal. Because the pastor is to the church in-house, and the teacher, of course, is the school. You always know it that way. So that tells you a lot. So what the apostle, prophet, and evangelist share is that they are all field officers.
Well, you always said, way back when I met you, the apostle and the prophet do not have to have a congregation to have an office. And a pastor without
a congregation is a title.
Is out of job.
Okay. And teachers without students.
Your
title.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, isn't it great to know? But when you think about it, the church has not been in divine order for ages. Ages. What we're doing in NEAR is that we're not just reactivating the office or recalling the office. We are reactivating the entire dispensation based on Scripture's authoring mantles, not based on evangelicalism, not based on traditionalism, not based on fundamentalism, and they all have a place. Because that's where pastors and bishops and all of those kinds of teachers, that's where they fit, and that's where they serve God. No, the reason the planet is in trouble has to do with the global ministries being absent or diminished, and people being taught that. You have universities telling you apostles don't exist.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, if apostles don't exist, why are you a university?
And denominations.
and denomination.
Same.
And I'm like, but how can you exist without us? Because you did not, the revelation didn't come to you. And Paul talked about that. Like, did the revelation come to you? It didn't come to a pastor. It didn't come to an evangelist. It didn't come to a teacher. Not that kind of a teacher. Because there is the threefold is your institutional, constitutional, and the fivefold is your administrative.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, mm-hmm. is your administrative part. They to carry it out. So we've got the thinkers, the executives, the legislative, constitutional, and then we have the carry it outers, the enforcers, the disseminators, etc. We have to know this stuff. We don't. And because we don't, then you half of you all that are being called to be apostles, you're like, well, I'm just going to be the same as my pastor. The sheep don't know why we need you. The pastors don't know why we need you. Bishops don't know why we need you. Because you've not defined yourself and you're not delineated. I wrote in my book, Eternity's Generals, which is my book for training apostles. I have about four or five. But I wrote in there how apostles represent the throne of Christ. There are people who represent the king himself and his throne, and there are ministers who represent his kingdom and his realm. Mm-hmm. And they're very different. See, because you can work for the kingdom. We work for the government all day long. We don't work for White House.
Indeed.
We don't work for the State House. We don't work for the Supreme Court, for the government. So these kinds of fine points, and apostles are the ones that gave us those fine point things. You know, and when we go forward, when you join us in November, you're going to get a lot more detailed information. If you are an apostle or you're an apostolic leader and you want to train your people in this is a good training. You can say, I'll just take and snatch scraps and slips from Dr. Price's Facebook. You can do that all day long, but you'll never get a holistic training. We give you holistic because apostles are about holism, which is why holiness is a big deal to them. Because holiness is not just an entire, holiness in God's mind is unfractured, unfettered, unfragmented, completely cohesive and united with no breaks or tears. And so you will never be more holy externally than you are in your soul. That's just it. So that's how God does it. So we have that. And then you have something else you got there.
Yes, we need to start talking about this as well. October 26th through the 28th. Our very own chief apostle, our very own chief prophet, and actually our near prophet, Angela Yamaba, will be speaking at the, I want to get this right, New Beginnings Discipleship Ministries. It's their 10th annual women's retreat. If you have ever been to a women's conference without Dr. Price's teaching, you know it's not about tiaras and nails.
No.
It is about taking the kingdom for Jesus Christ as a female, and so many other things. And God's historic, eternal use
of
Lady Wisdom and women and all the way through, no matter what we hear. So you want to make it your business to be there. It is in Des Moines, Iowa. You can, I need to check with Prophet Adia, see if it's on your site. It's definitely on her Facebook under events.
Mm-hmm.
You can click the link that will take you to the website to register for the conference. And Friday, it begins in the evening, October 26th, and it goes through the 28th. Dr. Price is going to close by doing the Sunday morning church service as well.
Yes.
So, oh, man, church after conference, you want to be there. So to our women who are out there, especially our Joliet, Chicago women, Omaha, Nebraska, we have our delegation out there and the surrounding areas as far as just jumping in a car and driving and not being that far. Even Tulsa. I know we have some of our Tulsans driving. It's like 6 hours, not far.
And it's fun when the Lord is with you.
Oh, it's very fun. You blink and you're there. So we want to have an amazing showing. They already have a good showing, and we want to have a gooder.
We want
the near showing to be there, the congregation of the mighty to represent at this conference. So you want to go, and like I said, go to Dr. Price's Facebook. I'll check with Prophet Adia to make sure it's up on the website. It may or may not be yet, but it will be, I'm sure, by the end of tomorrow.
Yes.
And you can get all the information. Hotel registration information is also there, and the address for the church and everything.
We're having fun. So listen, do you have a lot? We wanted to take time to give you good reasons to go to the website right now or Eventbrite and get and register for this summit. You don't want to miss it. If you are, particularly if you're a young apostle or new, you want to get this because this thing gives you hope. when we did it the last time, people walked away and said, well, now at least I clearly know what it's about. And you won't have to worry about it. Like, I don't expect any of those that are commissioned to wake up Monday morning saying, now what? No, now what?
No.
Because
it's
that's
already, actually, you're now what's already written out.
Exactly. And so I expect them to wake up the Monday after and say, well, let's get to work. They will go to that portfolio that they have, that they keep. It is their own document. They keep it. We just photograph it. We keep a paper copy, but they keep their own document with them, and they can work that. Now, let's say something happens to that apostle. Guess what? The work doesn't stop because the portfolio can be followed as a roadmap and as a guide to fulfilling that commission. I'm excited about this. This is exciting. Do you all feel excited? Come on, encourage me. We'd love to hear some of your feedback. I am grateful to all of these people who have done it. They fought for it, and they're still scrapping. Bless God. They're still scrapping. But anything good is worth scrapping. If it's not worth scrapping, then it's not worth doing. And so I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled that I have two apostles that, you know, well, actually, I got my first homegrown one.
Homegrown.
Organic apostle. See, I got converted and I got organic.
Yes.
And so I'm excited about what God is doing here and what he's making happen. Great things are coming from it. They know their station. They know their emphases. They know all of that. So there is no vague of wondering what happened now. I think a lot of apostles get lost because you don't have that information.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have a letdown the Monday after because all it was a loud music, excited, enthusiastic sermon where everybody just got up and prophesied over you. That's not how we do this. And if you're not invested, if we don't vest you, then you're not invested.
There you go.
Amen. All right. Ready?
No coffee?
No, I had enough. I had to do water. Yes,
you
can take that. I'll do water.
Your jersey came out.
My jersey came out.
Water.
It's been sneaking out.
It has.
Because I'm going to the East Coast thing. Yeah. Because I'm
going to look you up.
Yeah. So wait a minute. Let's get here.
Green is back, guys. I went into a room.
And came back with the screen. So today, I want to talk about this whole thing with Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford, the psychologist that seems to have gone psychotic somehow. You know, I don't make light of it. You know, I don't make light of what she suffered. I think that it's interesting, but I'm going to need you as a psychologist to have processed that out and closed that out 36 years later. So the fact that that didn't happen is interesting. There we go. Can they see that, Ashley? So I don't know about you, but I am extremely concerned about the Democratic Party. I am extremely concerned about the things that they're doing that reminds us of street gangs. The law breaking, the lawlessness, the deception, the bullying, the abuse. I don't know where the polish went. Where did the dignity go? Because I don't see the dignity that we remember from our political party. All I see over the last several years is rule breaking and rule making bias. It's amazing that they have offered all of these bills on bias and prejudice and, you know, injustice and abuse and all of that, and they're doing it, and nobody wants to hold them accountable for them breaking the laws and rewriting the rules. I'm trying to figure out, where is our Congress? Oh, right, they're in there. But I'm concerned, and I think that we all should be quite concerned about this last thing. You're talking about them refusing to yield to the very rules that have kept us a nation and that have put people in office and taken them out for ages. I am the bias. You're talking about, see, I don't mind you being partisan, but partisan and prejudice, that's a real leap. It's a real leap for you to go from being partisan, this is my party, to prejudice anything Christian, anything conservative, anything that's not liberal is out of bounds. So we the little Americans down here at the bottom of the mountain, We're pawns. We get pushed around from side to side. They kick us around like a football. We're nobody to these people. Nobody. You're talking about spending literally millions and millions of dollars on vendettas. Vendettas. We are, and then you're going to raise our taxes. How are you going to raise our taxes? Go get that money they spent. I think if they bring those kind of charges, they ought to be billed. We as Americans ought not to foot the bill for that. I believe that the Democrats got a problem. They need to pay for it, and they need to foot the bill and not put it under some guise of some governmental justice or political justice, because what happened to this man is unjust. I don't care what anybody says, it's unjust. And every time they do it, they did it with the recount. We couldn't have the recount, so we had to foot that bill. And then they did it with other things. We had to foot all these bills and all of their vendettas. Why is it? Where is it in the Constitution? Where is it in any amendment that we get to foot the bill of political parties that vendetta? That is wrong. That is wrong. And then you're going to pass taxes on us because you use up our money on your vendetta. So I'm very concerned. I'm an African American woman. You know, we think the D in our DNA is democratic as African American people. Now I don't. I've never been a Democrat in my life because even as a young woman, something about them scared me. And they have proven themselves because they always, and I'll tell you when they lost me with that Clinton impeachment. That's when the Democrats lost me. Now, I never was a Democrat, but then I wasn't anything. But when I saw how unjust and unrighteous they were about, and the lies, the literal lies that came out of their mouth about that Clinton impeachment, I said, okay, so there's something wrong with this party. Now, I don't know what spirit has a hold of it, but it is certainly not a healthy spirit. It is certainly was not. That was it. When they started, I mean, all of the deceptions and all of the unclean things, so by the time we got to Obama and their bias, these are, I don't, trust me, you can be loyal. Loyalty is expected. Loyalty is expected. We should be loyal to what we say we believe in. But loyalty to bias, to prejudice, that is a problem. Because if they're biased, then everybody who does not come under what they are cannot get a fair shake. That means they don't deliberate, they just react. They don't communicate on anything or try to go. It's for the best interest of the people. It's never the best interest of us because it's always the bias. And it's always the bias. Now, you can talk about all of this of life. This is not black and white. I want you to understand, character has no color. Character doesn't even have a culture. We impose those on character. Character has no culture. It has no gender. So we're talking about a party that is biased against even what's obviously the truth. They have checked this man out every which kind of way, and they still won't. That's a problem. And in another era, somebody with that kind of dysfunction, because that's a dysfunction and it's a disorder. We call that delusion. We used to. They were deluded. So these people with these issues, now, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know that it's the whole party, but I do know that if the party can't control this deluded, we got a problem. Because somebody in this party ought to be able to say, you know, guys, enough is enough. Somebody ought to be able to say, now, enough is enough. So every time we get a nominee, we got to go and, again, put another installment on our vendetta bill. So the next guy coming up, we got to go through another year or 2 year of mudslinging and whatnot, lying testimonies, etc., because they decide that this vendetta has to go on. This is a gangland vendetta. These people are acting like monsters. I think even monsters probably got more sense and more dignity, more savvy. This is a free-for-all. I listened to that African-American woman question him, and I'm thinking, this there is nothing polished about this woman. When did we lose our polish? When did we lose our dignity? When did our public officials become brawlers? And why do we have brawlers as public officials? When did we lose? It doesn't make a difference what the case is, but it does make every difference what the agenda is. And why is it that this agenda can break all protocols, all norms, all rules, all policy, simply because it has a vendetta. Wow. Where is that? And is that going to become our legislation of the future? Will we be faced as Americans to include in our amendment the right for elected officials to behave as brawlers and to make us pay for their brawls? It's very important for us to understand. We have got to get to the bottom of this. So I put up on the screen, democratic or demonic. I would like to know, because I know, we're the spirit-filled Christians. I'm the Holy Ghost baptized. We know devils when we see them. We know the sound of them. We know them. They look. I've watched them go in and out of these people's mouths. So now we no longer have a Democratic Party. We have a demonic party where people can do the vilest things to folks, their family. They can do the vilest things to discredit someone. They can pay somebody to lie, to destroy a life, to demolish a life. And we can, is that our laws? Is that our legislation? Are those our regulations? So we're now regulated by vendettas, demonic vendettas, because devils are mad at Jesus Christ. So they're using their people as pawns against them. Is that what we're talking about? I didn't expect this to be a political thing, because I know everything in this earth realm has a spiritual engine attached, of spiritual ignition and motivation. So I started doing it, and I've been saying to people quietly, because, you try to, I don't even know, scratch it. But why are they acting like gangland bullies? They want to bully everybody into what? Then why have a political process? But maybe that's the goal. Why say we have a nomination process? Why say we have procedures when you can turn around and have a gangland bully tell you, I don't care what is written, I don't care what we've done before, we're not letting it happen, and if we have to break every law and breach every covenant and rip apart every unity, we'll do it. We'll do it. I think I would love for our Congress and our politicians of right to halt this train, because I'm telling you, nobody is going to be exempt. What happened to this man can happen to every senator, every congressman, and every representative in the country. It can happen to everybody in the U.N. Any woman can come out of the shadows and swear you did something to her while she was on the way to the bathroom. And you know what? Very few men have gotten to where they are without pinching the bottom, jiggling a boob, slapping a behind. And that can come out of the woodwork on you. Do we really want that kind of political process for vetting and screening our leaders? Do we really want that? Every woman, any woman, you could bump into a woman accidentally, and if your elbow hit her breast, she's going to say that you sexually molested her. You didn't even know that she was there. You didn't even recognize her, because she was just a body that you bumped into in a crowded room. But do we really want this? Because, see, we have set the stage for all of these women to come out of the woodwork who had a one-night stand, rose to the top, got what they want, and it's over. We've set the stage to cry rape under any circumstances, and they don't have to really prove it, because we have primed the public for a knee-jerk response to such claims and such allegations, that in our knee-jerk response, the woman is right and the man is wrong. See, I'm a woman, so I'm going to say this because I am a woman. And I know women gangs. And all women know women gangs. We all know it because we were all trying to get a boyfriend, trying to get a date, trying to get a mate, trying to get a husband for the kids, whatever. We all know the gangs. And we live in a sexually charged environment that has been deliberately primed for indiscriminate sexuality. But when it serves our purpose, then somebody can cry wolf. And I look at I read this lady, I stand her background, I'm like, but you're a psychologist, come on. And you say, baby, no, for an extinguished, I'm talking about really distinguished university. And you're a psychologist, you've done studies, et cetera, and you're standing here. I asked God, I'm always going to go for the highest call. I said, God, I need the bribers to be revealed. Because this with bribery is clear and simple. Now, I don't know whether anything happened to the woman or not, but I do know that our FBI is a little better than she gives them credit for, because they like their jobs too. So they're not going to go after this and begin to, you know, go after this and have somebody sitting there that's going to say so-and-so failed in his job. These people are good. They're well-trained, and they're well-screened. And so they would know. And they have gone after this man all these times. And the fact that we let that the American people let that go. Now, I could see them saying, let's check it once more. Maybe something fell through the crack. Buddy was ready for retirement. Susie was ready to go on a trip or something. This one was getting another job when this was happening. Maybe they didn't give it their full attention. But in the end, this should have never gone on. This is a vendetta. And we need to call it that. The American people need to call it. I'm telling you, it's the Kavanaugh vendetta. He just got caught in the crosshairs of this, of whatever unclean spirit running this thing, boxing it out with Jesus Christ. Because he does that. Because, you know, they don't want us to stay a Christian nation. They don't want that. So if they can do anything, the last thing they want is Christians in power, and certainly not good ones. Certainly not. You know, as you can say with him, you know, you can't accuse them of anything. You can't buy them. You can't bribe them. Hell has nothing that they want. Crime has nothing that they want. See, that's what we haven't wanted. And so I'm thinking today as we're talking, and I'm thinking, but these people are, if this was done in a corporation, if this was done in some sort of other political setting, it would be clear that this party is wrong. Now, whether they meant to be wrong or whether they're just running on emotional steam, that's debatable. But they are behaving like gangs. And they're ganging up on whomever they don't like. And they're ganging up on American people by deciding that we cannot make a decision, or if we do, our decisions cannot stand. Now, that's bullying. I'm sorry. What you do, they're doing to us as a country, what happens to a kid in the schoolyard. The bully gang comes, catch you up by the collar, and because you didn't say what they wanted you to say, because you didn't do what they wanted you to do, because you won't give them their way, they beat you to a pulp. America has yet to realize that this thing pummeled our country. They beat us. They pummeled us like we were nothing, like we were a schoolyard kid. Pummeled by everything. I don't care. Well, this is what she said. After you got talking about going out there getting folks to stand up and say, yeah, well, so I went, you know, I woke up yesterday and the Holy Ghost started talking to me about it. And he said, but you know, heaven has a response. And I pity Sister Ford. Because it said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And since she didn't prove her witness is true, we are left with her being on the spot for false witness, because she didn't prove her case, because she really didn't want to do it. And whoever the power was, or whatever the manipulation was that got her to come out like that, was not about to let her back down. But I sincerely believe that she did not expect to become world chatter. And that's what she's become, world chatter. And I can't imagine her feeling really good about this. But, you know, one of the things about getting caught up in other people's fight, you know, the Bible says very clearly, don't you get another man's battle? Proverbs talks about that. Because when you get caught up, you have to go the distance. You have to go to the end of the bout. So I was studying. And so under this is Wikipedia. I know a lot of y'all don't like it, but I praise the Wikipedians because they, you know, they don't care that you didn't like them. They just kept getting it right. They just kept working on it. I like the Wikipedia. All right. What false witness means? Thou shalt not bear false witness, forbid speaking falsely in any matter, lying, equivocating in any way, devising and designing to deceive our neighbor. Speaking unjustly. This is where she was. And where those women were speaking unjustly against our neighbor to the prejudice of his reputation. So the whole goal was to prejudice us against his reputation. a reputation that's clear. I come against delusion on our country because there's no way in the world that anybody who says I agree with her can look at the fact that she herself can't prove her case and not wonder. But see, there's again, this vendetta is this working of witchcraft, which is blinding people. It's blinding their minds. So the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot receive the truth and the love of the truth. So this is real. So you, because saints need to know whether or not I speak to two people groups, the saints and the righteous. Three, if you add the godless, because not every righteous person is a Christian, but that doesn't mean they're not righteous. And a lot of righteous people had a problem with this. Not every righteous person is ungodly. Some of them just believe in the ways of a healthy, wholesome society. And not every righteous person likes a bully. Most people cannot stand a bully. Now, you can see it in your kids, you can see it in the gangs, you can see it in the terrorists. What they did was terrorize this man, and it was horrible. It was horrible. What they did to this man, they terrorized him for the sake of their vendetta against Jesus Christ, against righteousness, against truth, against holiness. And we, as believers, have got to learn to start praying this down, which is what I'm going to lead us into doing when I'm done. So the whole idea was to prejudice us, to get us to prejudge his reputation, a reputation that has served the country well. If he was a newcomer, we would all understand. If he was a novice in the office, just came into this, we would all understand. This man has served us, and this woman has had 36 years, and nobody thinks that she did not have some sort of help. 36 years, you found the courage? That's a long time to resolve an issue. To resolve, more people would call you at least healed, if not, you know, would call you in remission, if not healed. 36 years, they would tell you that the disease is gone. But the worst of it is that this poor woman has no idea what she's done to her life. And no matter how many times the enemy promises you roses after the end of a rebellion and at the end of allegation, false report, you can't deliver because the wages of sin is death, whether that's to your home, to your family, to your friends, to relationships, to your job. You know, death doesn't have to be corporeal to be effective. And so we're at a place now where this man has to go on, and he will go on. But I'll tell you something. I think we need to revisit this, and I think the price of these vendettas need to come off the American people. Now, I frankly think that we need the parties because, you know, one person, you know, one party does, you know, tempest the other. I agree with that. I almost agree with it. I won't say I do. 100%. But I can see the merits of it. Let me say it that way. I can see the merits of one party. But when we got a party who's gone completely out of the orbit of politics, see, they're not even in the orbit of politics any longer. This isn't politics. This is so not. This is battling. This is brutality. This is brawling. This isn't politics. The politics is about the people, poly, us, kick, how we work. How we think, what we need. See, we've forgotten that because the people spoke. We spoke in the election. We spoke in all of the things that we've been living. And when we were when the righteous were beaten down, nobody cared about us. Nobody cared about the poly in the tick. And here we are again, still not caring about the poly in the tick, in the technique. So this new technique of raising up false witnesses, is that really a ground that our country should travel? Is that really what we want to do? Because we are guaranteed, in doing so, we're raising up the spirit of a liar. Now, we know politicians don't always tell us the truth. We know some of them can't spell truth. But you know what? Do we want to make it legislated? Do we really want to legislate and enact every single time? It's time for us to nominate anybody for anything. Do we really want to do that? And are we the ones making the decisions? For example, is it the culprits that get to make the decision or the citizens? Because we're the citizens. Nobody asked us. Nobody. We do these polls and people poll the fraternities, their schools. These are biased polls. The average of me, I don't ever get asked. Don't ask me anything because I got a lot to say. But I don't get asked. Most of us, by the time we hear the news, the polls have already, we don't know where the polls are. Somebody needs to have a site where we post all them polls and we find out who the pollsters are and who the pollers are. Because we don't know. We take somebody's word for it. Y'all might have been at a party, an all-night party. Okay, well, let's just take a poll. Okay, how many of y'all raise your hand? Okay, not the poll. We don't know. What false witness means? It is the distinction between lying versus perjury, which is always unlawful under criminal law and liable to punishment. I thought that was very good. In Jewish tradition, a distinction was made between lying in general and bearing false witness, which is perjury specific. So when God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, he's saying you shouldn't perjure yourself against your neighbor. And then bearing false witness, perjury, was always prohibited according to the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. So God always, always prohibited false witness and false testimony. Lying in general, this is what I wanted to get to, well, one of the two. Lying in general was acknowledged to be permissible or commendable, or a commendable white lie not done under oath and not harmful to someone else. So I just want to talk about this. Who colored the lie? And where is the lie color palette? There must be a color palette for lies. White lie meaning what? Does white mean pure lie? Does it mean the right lie? Does it mean right, a lie of righteousness? I know we like to call it the kind lie. So, and then we go from white to shades of gray till we get to black. So the black lie, I'm assuming, is the harmful lie, which means, and black meaning judgment. So it's the judgeable lie. So somewhere within this spectrum of lie, shades of lie and nuances of lies, there is an okay. So let me just go on the record to say that God has no such thing as black and white. Black and white, not the Almighty. He doesn't have it. In God's world, a lie is a lie because it's against his codes of creation. It's against the coding of his government. So in God's world, a lie is a lie. Anyway, any untruth is a lie. And God said, when we talk about white lie, it said, see, they must have been dealing with this way back then. No lie is of the truth. No lie. So white lie can't be peace truth. It can't be partly true. It just can't be. Now, I know we do things like tell people their hair looks great when it doesn't and things like that because we don't want to hurt their feelings. So it's better for them to find out later that you told somebody else their hair was hideous. That surely is not going to hurt them. It's better just to say nothing. Do you like my hair? Nothing or not particularly. They'll get over that 30-second not particularly because what will happen is their self-preservation will kick in. And they'll say, I don't care what you think. I like it. Now, see, they're taking care of themselves. And I like my hair. So I'm going to wear it like that. Well, good. That's a white lie. A white lie to me would be an unnecessary lie. If it's unmeaningful, then why do it? That you teach your kids that we're going out, and then you change it. Oh, yeah, my kid got sick. And so you haven't called enough sickness on your kids. You're wondering why they're in the hospital because you've used that excuse that much. So God has no white or black. Now, I can tell you the truth. We all have to struggle with it because we are all made in sin and shaped in iniquity. We have to struggle with that. That is just human nature that's in this world. But when it comes time to demolishing someone's life, and demolishing someone's reputation, they shredded this man's years of faithful service for a vendetta that we had to pay for. But we, in fact, helped them shred this man's reputation, whether we agree with it or not. Then when it comes to that, the lie, it becomes a crime if you do it under oath. It's a crime. And so, and if you haven't proven your case, then clearly you misremembered. You misrecalled it. But when you found that out, you needed to have bowed out. Now, I noticed that we have a constant recurrence of this. This thing keeps recurring, and because this is the weapon in their arsenal. This here is the weapon in their arsenal. They're raising up, finding false witnesses. That's what they're finding false witnesses. If you can't find truth, so they couldn't find any true witnesses against this man. So they went out on a party to find false witnesses and to see which one could be persuaded to break the law. Now, I believe that women do, a lot of women in position have rape stories. A lot of, you know, what did they, something like every 3 seconds a woman is raped or something ridiculous like that? So the fact that a lot of women could have a rape story is real. That's a reality. A lot of our congressional folks, male or female, can all be brought into that. Every one of you all. Because all somebody has to do is set their sights on you and then go out and send a search party out for false witnesses or truth. Things that you've forgotten. Things that you were hide about. Things that you didn't do, but you were a party to. But do we really want to set that precedent? Really. In honesty. Do we really want to set that precedent? Because all of these congressmen people and these senators who are going to have to vote this man in have got to ask themselves, do they really want to sanction something so horrible and such an abhorrent abuse of authority and power and justice? This is an abuse of their power. Vendettas and of people in seats of authority is an abuse. That's an abuse of power, abuse of office, abuse of authority. Do we really want that? Because, see, that means all of our Congress people need to look behind their shoulders and try to go back and make sure Sister so-and-so is dead, so-and-so else is married, someone else has left the country, so that their past cannot come back as a weapon or a cudgel to use against their success and their attainment. That's a big deal. I have one final thing, and then we'll bring our prophets up, and that is, I firmly believe, I'm just Jane Q. Citizen. Just a citizen, everyday citizen. I go to, well, I don't do that. But, yeah, I can. I was going to say I go to store, but I don't, you know. But I shop like you do. I live the life you live. We all of us just trying to make it in this life. This dust pole called Earth could be a little difficult sometimes. But we do make the best of it. And I firmly believe that women who come out and do this and who allow themselves to be false witnesses against anybody, but especially against our political figures, ought to pay damages. This woman ought to pay damages for what she did to his reputation. There ought to be some compensation. If we're not going to call it a crime, then at least we can call it a damage. And she ought to pay damages. I think that they ought to, if they come out, I don't care if they come out in 50, 90, 100, if that's what they want to do, if they prove their case, that's one thing. But Bill Cosby, the case was proven again and again and again and again. But in this particular case, they have proven our highest investigative body in the country has done it over and over again, and it's been proven to be untrue. And she should pay damages to his estate. I don't care if it's just having her put some money in his favorite charity, but she needs to pay damages because this needs to cease. And they need to be less inclined to bear false witness for the sake of a paycheck or a bribe or whatever promise. I don't know. But there needs to be repercussions. She has not She shouldn't just get to run off in the night. She's got her 15 minutes of fame. People are now remembering you're the one, because what people are going to remember is that you're the one that lied on Brett Kavanaugh. They're not going to remember that it really happened to you. You just don't remember who did it. Nobody's going to recall that, because we, as far as we're concerned, if you can't remember who did it, anything that traumatic, oh, baby, you never forget. I promise you, you never forget. You almost remember the day, but you definitely remember the setting. You remember the setting, you remember the environment, you remember the kiss condition, and you remember that ugly face that looked at you while it was tearing you up. You don't forget that. I don't care if you're 90 years old, you remember it. It doesn't ever go away in your life. It gets buried in your subconscious, and various things that correlate with that day or that event raise it up again, and it's triggered. And you don't ever forget. And so that's why women who have been in that position will tell you, no, she lying because she would remember, because you can't, and unless you're drugged. And even if you're drugged, you'll dream it all the time. You're because it's unresolved, so you dream it. You just keep dreaming it. Hallelujah. Are you ready? How are they doing? How are they doing with you?
Oh, good comment.
You want to share some?
Yes. That you are correct. Yet, someone said she got paid privately and publicly by the GoFundMe account. Okay. Agreement with that truth. Let's see. No black and white, no gray.
Oh, we have a couple of crazies.
Yeah. Polls being biased. Oh, yeah, even with the polling. Somebody said they were gang raped as a teenager. I remember it now.
Mm-hmm.
In their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the polls, I remember during the election season with Trump and how they were explaining polling.
Mm-hmm.
And how you do have to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the polls can be... We polled 1,200 people on this college campus. In the political science department. And so they're going to say 90% of people mm-hmm. polled believe this. And like you said, but none of us have ever been polled.
No.
Ever. It's like, where are these? And so they said that polls hold very little credibility because the person polling is specifically shopping mm-hmm. to the area that will give them the most favorable numbers to persuade the public that what they want is true, which is why they had all of these polls and numbers about Hillary, everybody supporting her, and everybody's mind was blown
mm-hmm.
when it didn't happen. But what happened to all the support? Are you done with this?
Mm-hmm. I am. Well, continue to give me your thoughts. It's interesting to hear from you. Is there the other prophet, I guess, will be rounding the – she's rounding the –
You were good today. Tactical today.
Wasn't I tactical?
You were.
Yep.
You know, you're addressing something that people are getting their heads sliced off everywhere
mm-hmm.
in every public platform you can think of for addressing this, and we have to be brave enough to address it anyway.
Yep.
You know, there was a comment that was made. I was watching via Facebook as this broadcast was going on, that you were saying, you know, similar things to what someone tried to address to their people group, and they just, you know, basically got assassinated for it. And that's, we have to understand that that's the tactic as well. You know, you start to bring out this issue and people just basically shut you down and won't even let you bring out an alternative argument. And that's an indicator right away that something is awry, you know. And so we have to also recognize this, the tactics and the strategies. We got to get back to a place in this country where we can talk about differing opinions in an intelligent and logical way. And we're actually going to hear each
mm-hmm.
other. I love that you addressed this today because, you know, someone that sits in your seat of authority with the logic and the intelligence with which you address things helps people to be able to say, you know, listen, just watch this point of view. I agree with this. You know?
Yeah.
I agree with how this was presented because so many times we're not given even the opportunity to get the whole opinion out
no.
before you are just lambasted with you're a hater, and just what the name calling comes out. That's why I can't deal with people like you because you're so judgmental, or that's why I can't talk to people like you because you're so racist, and just all this stuff. And we have to recognize the labels that are used to shut down the argument that you made today, because that's what happened.
Yeah, I can believe it. One of the things that I will say is that in addition, this gangland spirit on the Democrats has, and I believe the politics has turned sour anyhow. We've been knowing that. But I'm going to need you not to act like a gangster. That's a gangster move.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to yell at you. We're going to punish you before you get it out. Because people are not taught to think. They're trying to feel. And because their feelings are dysfunctional, because the information is too minimal.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to always have a dysfunctional response because the information that they would usually draw on for a sage conversation and a sage argument is wanting. It isn't there. So they'll start. So those people, they're not worth your intelligence anyway. You know, I'm just being honest, but what Satan is trying to do is multiply the gangster. I mean, think about it. We're in a gangster era. We got gangster movies. We got gangster this and that. All of this gangster shows. So what are people trained to be? Gangster, like in everything. And so unless there is an intelligence that's going to come along and be given an important stage. I mean, you got news media people cutting up.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, do you all know that you all are like high school? Like a kid, high school. So because now everybody is free to be abusive and assaulting. You can assault others if you disagree, because that's the climate we've created.
Yes.
You know, the climate of verbal assault. The climate of abusive disagreement, of contemptuous disagreement, because we've done that. Why? Because the whole idea was to get a mob scene. So people are always mob ready. They're ready to do the mob thing.
Yeah.
You know, come on, our protesters, mob thing. We have done that. And how we'll turn that around, well, that's a whole other broadcast, but it will turn around. It will turn around. And so, and I firmly believe that the women who do, they should not walk away scot-free. Well, because then they're going to end up, that's going to be a career. Oh, hey, let's pull Molly out again. She was so good the last time.
And that's, you were talking about needing proof. We do like to run down, and they're very valid, the statistics of women who are assaulted. But we don't talk about the false accusations.
Mm-hmm.
And these people's lives who are wrecked, and even when they're found innocent with undeniable proof, that stigma is still there. They will never outrun it. They'll always be remembered of, you were the football players that, you were the lacrosse players that, you were the whatever that. And it's true. And because this is an emotional thing that we're dealing with, and obviously a human issue, you do have to have that maturity to separate. Just because there are people who are not prosecuted for their crimes does not mean that everybody who is accused is guilty, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we blend together. See, this is why, when we were talking to somebody, this is why, you know, women don't want to come forward. Because but this isn't this issue.
This issue is
she can't prove, after almost 40 years, that he, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because that's what we have to get to, committed this crime. And nobody wants to talk about how all the women who came forward in the beginning to vouch for his character.
Over 20, I think, for sure. I'm not sure the number.
So all of these women come forward and say, this was a good guy. Some of them may have been wanting to seduce him, and he just rebuffed them, so they know he's a good guy. But could that happen?
Mm-hmm.
But it has always bothered me. But first of all, humans cannot have balance scale. They just can't. That's why justice is always blind, because they don't know how to balance scale. To us, a pendulum can't ever be dead center. It's got to go this way or that way. It's either all women who have been raped